You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Welcome in. It is the Tuesday, June 22nd live show. I'm Gary.
And I'm Chris.
And boy, do we have some stuff to talk about today. So obviously we put out the Monday podcast, had no idea that the Supreme Court was going to come out and just dunk all over the NCAA on Monday morning, but that certainly happened, and we had some arrests, we had some other stuff fun happening in the NFL, so we are going to discuss all of that and more. Go ahead and do us a favor, head over to winningcureseverything.com, that is the website. We got everything you need to know about us over there, everywhere to subscribe, everywhere to follow, everything to, you know, every show that we do, every appearance that we make is right there. So go ahead and check that bad boy out if you would. And, of course, we do a college football show for Sportsbook Review. You can find it online, sbrpicks.com/NCAAF. There is a link in the description. You can click that thing right now. We put out a show every Wednesday. That will be changing a little bit going forward because we are moving into conference preview season. So I believe next week it will be two different videos released on two different days where we discuss one conference at a time. So I think we're going to start with the Conference USA and then move into the MAC and so forth and so on. We'll knock out the G5 stuff first, move into the P5 after that, but that will be what we knock out for July. So go ahead and check it out again. You can search on YouTube. SBR Picks on YouTube is where you can find it. Chris, how is your day going?
Pretty good, man.
Everything is rocking and rolling. It is beautiful day outside. Have you been outside today?
I've worked outside all day.
It is gorgeous. This is maybe the best it has felt in 2 months. Maybe.
It's been a while, yeah.
I have spent a lot of time outside going between buildings today, and I got to tell you, I haven't broken a sweat once. Like, it doesn't happen often in June in Memphis, but here we are. We just had summer solstice, and now we're ready to rock and roll. Let's start off with the first topic today, and we'll get, you know, if anybody wants to chat, by the way, you can jump into the chat box. It's down in the bottom left-hand corner of your screen. Any of these different platforms that we are on will populate right there, so be a part of the conversation. You can help us out with that. First topic of the day, the first openly gay NFL player came out.
Active player.
Yeah, because Michael Sam, right?
Yeah. We had Michael Sam, but he never really played a lot.
He didn't really make a roster, did he?
I think he made I don't remember if he made the roster or not.
I think he just made the practice roster. But either way, McKinnon jumps in. He said, happy Tuesday. Cheers to that. Carl Nassib from the Raiders, defensive end, came out as gay. He came out of the closet, and it's, you know, it's a fairly big deal. First question for you, Chris, do you think he's the only one?
No.
I don't either.
I do not. We just live in a world where the percentages would say that many people employed by an organization like that, the fact that there's one is probably not, but it's definitely a macho world. I will tell you that he got the reception I thought he would get. Anybody would quote unquote have a problem with it stayed silent and kept their mouth shut, and everybody was pretty nice and accepting of it. I think it's weird that it's 2021 and there might, I don't know any of these people, but I'm certain they're still out there. There are people that are still afraid of gay people.
I have known people that are very homophobic.
And I knew people like that a long time ago, and I'm still friends with those people today. They're not that way anymore. Like they are very, like, they're not gay, obviously, but they're just that, like, they, it's no big deal to them now. Back in the day, it was a huge deal to them. It's strange that there are still people out there where it bothers them that there are men that like men and women that like women, and it's still abnormal to them. That's strange to me.
So the deal with the people that I have known, and I'm not super close with any of these people anymore, but I do know that they've changed their stance a little bit, but it was always, I don't want them hitting on me. And it's like, that's a little bit egotistical to think that.
I was about to say, I would find it nothing more than flattering to find a gay man hitting on me.
Yeah.
Have you seen gay guys? They look a whole lot better than I do. Okay. All right. I would take that as an extreme compliment.
Agreed. Nassib said in a video he posted on his Instagram account, he said, "I just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay." He said, "I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest. I really have the best life. I've got the best family, friends, and a job that any guy could ask for. I'm a pretty private person, so I hope you guys know I'm not doing this for attention, but I think representation matters." It says, "No openly gay player has ever played in a regular season NFL game. Michael Sam came out as gay before the 2014 NFL draft. He was drafted by the Rams. Played for him in the preseason, didn't make the regular season roster. Other players have come out after their career was over." So, you know, this is interesting. You know, he was a Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year for Penn State back in 2015. He played for the Browns in 2016 through whatever. He played for the Buccaneers. Now he's with the Raiders. He's kind of proven himself to be a valuable commodity in the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
Like, do you remember the videos? Because several of them went around.
The Hard Knock stuff with him in Cleveland was great. It was always great.
Where is it? He's teaching everybody, like, how to save their money, like, how to make more money.
Yes, don't piss off your money. That's right, yeah.
He's a smart guy, and I think this is a good thing to have happen because he's not just some bum that's not even going to make the roster. Like, he's a good football player, and he's valuable in the locker room. I think this is good. Like, I don't see any negative about this. I hope that that this makes even more people comfortable in their skin, and we'll see what happens from here. I don't know what else the story, like, it's a massive story, obviously, because it's getting a ton of attention, but I don't know what else you can add to it, right?
The attention it's getting, I think, is the majority of non-football, non-sports related media are now interested in this story.
Well, yeah, all of these other mainstream outlets are interested in the human interest stories, right?
That's right.
And I totally get that. But as far as you and I are concerned, like, I don't know of very many NFL guys that care if he's gay or not. Like,
I don't either.
Like,
no,
it's not a huge story to me. Like, it totally seemed plausible and more likely than not that they're. I think maybe in every locker room there's.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a number. It's just a numbers game, and knowing human people in the world, and knowing, you know, how we're made and how we're all different. You can't have that many men and are just individuals together and somebody not be gay. Like, it's just, that would be a statistical anomaly. It would not fit with the other statistics of society.
Yes, you are correct about that. Strange few days for defensive ends in this league. We'll start off with another NFL topic. Frank Clark, defensive end for the Chiefs, was arrested in Los Angeles with an Uzi in the backseat of his Lamborghini. It was just sitting out in a bag where you could easily see it. He was pulled over. Cops saw it, immediately arrested him. $35,000 bond. I wasn't shocked. I was shocked at the attention that this got, because I got multiple text messages about this, about can you believe this? Like, what are they going to do with Frank Clark? And look, his attorney has already come out and said it was his bodyguard's gun. And yes, it's a semi-automatic, you know, whatever. and it's felony illegal possession of a firearm because it wasn't registered to him, but this is easily explained away. I don't think it's going to cost him any playing time, anything. Do you?
No, I mean, this is a criminal matter, but to think that these big guys who competed at a very violent machismo sport don't like fast cars, Lambo, and guns, Uzi, like, you're kidding yourselves, right? Like, yes. They're not. I go, hang on. It's a good thing that NASIP feels comfortable being gay and open in the NFL, but that's not the norm. Most of them are meatheads who are going to like, they're going to get in trouble with girls, they're going to get in trouble with guns, and they're going to get in trouble with cars. This is what they do. This is what guys who are just macho machismo meathead guys do. All right. So it doesn't surprise me. What if I'm going to assume is he was probably riding around. There's a lot of places in the desert of California where you can just go shoot off guns. People do, by the way, all the time.
Yeah.
Just to blow off a little steam and have a good time. And he was probably either coming from that or going to that.
More than likely. It was 9:20 p.m. on Sunday when he was pulled over and arrested. He was booked into jail 9:28 a.m. on Monday. He played for the Seahawks, traded to the Chiefs before the 2019 season. He signed a 5-year, $104 million deal. He made the Pro Bowl in both of his seasons in Kansas City. McKinnon said, reasons it's a huge deal is it's California. Cali is one of the worst states for firearms in the country. If they saw that anywhere in the South or Midwest, the cop would be like, damn, that thing rocks.
The problem is that's not necessarily true. If it's a fully automatic Uzi, then they're going to want to see some paperwork. They're going to want to see your tax stamp. They're going to want to see, are you the rightful, holder of this?
Or his bodyguard, or whoever.
And if you're not, then you're not, they're going to still follow they're going to do their job. Okay. Yeah. It wouldn't make breaking news, by the way. They probably wouldn't call the media and they probably wouldn't publicize it, but I still think that they would do their job.
Yes, I do agree with that for sure. I am very curious about, I just realized I didn't change the topics or the title of the thing, but I'll change that later. What I'm curious about is the bodyguard. Why does Frank Clark need a bodyguard?
No, I'm sure he doesn't have a bodyguard. I'm sure he has all these guys have, all of these guys, Gronk, they all have big entourages. Okay. And whatever. And I'm sure somebody does have the tax stamp. Somebody probably does have the legal rights to own that gun. But in the state of California, they probably don't have any legal rights of carrying it around outside of their property. I wonder if it's legal even to have in the state of California. I don't know their gun laws. McKinnon's right. It's super strict. But like here in Mississippi, you could have it. It just can't leave your property unless you're going somewhere specific. And the person who most people get those tax stamps put in a trust instead of an individual's name.
Yep.
But, it's just one of those things where the person who's responsible for that gun, rather the overseer of the trust or the person who it's in his name and has the proper paperwork to have it, those people have to be with the gun. Like I can't run to the gas station if it's mine and you just hang out at the gun range. That's not allowed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It can never leave my side and only be in your hands.
Do you see anything massive coming out of this?
No, this is going to be, he's going to pay a massive fine. There's a really good chance that California might try to make an example out of him and make him do jail time, whatever they end up doing, the NFL is not going to care.
I tend to agree.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's move into some college football talk. I think this is going to be the biggest topic for the day, and that is the Supreme Court dunked all over the NCAA on Monday morning. Basically, and we kind of knew that this was coming, right? This, if you read the tea leaves at all, you knew what was happening. The Austin case, we've brought it up multiple times on this show over the past however many months, and then back a couple of months ago when it went away, and we knew it was going to be late June, early July when it came out. It was going to be a big deal, and it certainly was. Now, we're going to go through and kind of discuss what exactly it meant and what it didn't mean, right? And we're, Chris, I think we're both a couple of meatheads, you know? We don't know the full extent of legal talk, right? But I've got enough of a know-how about this that I think we can explain it to dummies, right? I think we can do that. This is not NIL. This is not, like, the NCAA lost this, but they had already lost it. They appealed it up to the Supreme Court, hoping that they would get some kind of a different ruling. And it just, it did not work. Like, nobody assumed it was going to work. And if you followed along with the case when it was actually happening, when they were making their arguments, you knew that it wasn't going to help matters, that the NCAA's own attorney was misinterpreting things that some of these justices had actually been involved in hearing. Like, they made judgments on stuff that the NCAA misinterpreted in their defense. Like, you knew it was never going to work for them. So, all of that to say, this was not a name, image, likeness case, but it opens the door for this stuff, right? It opens the door for schools to pay athletes. It opens the door for a ton of different things. And basically what it's saying is the NCAA cannot limit educational benefits. That means, If Alabama wants to go, as it sits right now, everybody has to give basically the same. You get a scholarship, you get this much nutrition, you get this many books, you get this computer, you get da-da-da-da, and Alabama can't offer a better computer than Louisiana Monroe can offer, because you're all under the FBS, and that division, everybody has to give like the same stuff. All this stuff is equal, right? They can't do that anymore. Now, if you go to Alabama, you can get, like, I think Chip Patterson on the Cover 3 podcast was saying, like, if they wanted to hire Elon Musk to build personal computers for every football player at Alabama, but Louisiana Monroe doesn't have the money to offer to be able to get that done, well, now that can happen. That's doable. That's basically what we're looking at. But the big thing that came out of this was Brett Kavanaugh. The justice there, he was the one who actually wrote the concurrence. He didn't write the actual argument or the actual finding. He wrote the concurrence, which basically said if the NCAA's business model was in any other profession, it would be illegal on every count. And his examples were, you can't take a bunch of restaurants in one city and they all collude together and decide that we want to underpay our cooks because people really like to eat food from underpaid cooks. You can't do that. Like, that was the NCAA's argument, is we're going to lose a lot of fans because our fans, from what the studies that we have done, and they didn't even provide studies. They just said that
Nope. We
believe that our fans don't want to see paid athletes. They want to see unpaid athletes, which is ridiculous. Like, it's a complete joke. And he said it would be illegal everywhere. And he basically put it out there, hey, anybody else that wants to bring a lawsuit, bring it on, because we will pile on this thing and we will get it fixed. Now, the scope that they were able to judge on was very narrow in this one. But going forward, I mean, you bring some more of this stuff, they will hammer the NCAA. this was the beginning of the undoing of the NCAA. What are your thoughts on it?
So to get a 9-0 ruling is maybe unprecedented. I don't know if we've ever had, I don't know enough about the history of the Supreme Court rulings.
They just had one. The Chief Justice, whatever, God, I cannot remember his name. They just had one a month ago, maybe not even a month ago. He is very big on making sure that all of these, he wants a lot of 9-0s. But he wants all of these guys to kind of agree, even if they don't all fully agree, he wants them all like to set matters even, right? He wants it 9-0. He wants as many of these as he can get for whatever reason. I don't know if that's good or bad, but in this situation, it didn't seem like there was anybody that agreed with the NCAA at all on this.
Yeah, I mean, this is what, but Gary, we've been saying this for a long time, okay? You lay out every college football fan, every college basketball fan, baseball fan, volleyball fan, women's basketball. If you're a fan of any sport, name any entity that actually likes and or, let's forget about likes because that's a feelings thing, thinks the NCAA does a good job. There's zero people in the world that think these people do a good job.
Yes.
Okay. Our government can't agree on anything. And you put Mark Emmert's dumbass in the middle and everybody immediately agrees. That guy's awful. And this organization that he represents, they're terrible too.
Yeah.
I've said it forever. I've used the phrase, they forced them to shop at the company store. And that was deemed illegal by employers years and years and years and years ago. You cannot run a business and own a store, a school. Football is your business. Basketball is your business. The school is your store. And force people to only shop at your store. Your money is only good at our cafeteria. We'll feed you, but we're only going to feed you from our cafeteria. Like, we'll clothe you, but you have to buy clothes from the bookstore. That has been illegal for a really long time. The education is no different, by the way. Yeah. All right. You put this $60,000 price tag on there and say, look, you're getting a $60,000, $100,000, $200,000 education. Bullshit. You're not getting $200,000 worth of anything. Okay. They made that number up and they sell it to morons that take out student loans. All right.
Yes.
That's what they do.
Matt Miller jumped in, by the way. Said the Supreme Court has had the second most 9-0 rulings this year. I think it's the most since like 1968. And then he said, the court is doing its job. If it is expanded, it's sad and pathetic, but that's a different conversation. that's a political talk show conversation for sure. So we won't dive into that. But yes, this.
So my question is what does this mean? What does this now look like? That's all I care about. We all agree the Supreme Court, I appreciate, hates the same people I hate. That's always good for you, right? Like, you don't want them to love people you hate, and you don't want to love people they hate. So that's always makes for weird, iffy things. What does this mean?
You're not going to see changes like immediately. Like,
because I know what NIL means, and yeah. I really don't want these schools paying kids. I really don't.
Having the schools pay kids is going to.
That sounds like a bad idea, by the way.
It's a bad, very bad idea.
That sounds like a lot of people are going to hide some money because anytime you're moving a bunch of money, it other people get money that don't deserve it. Okay.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Like it
money just falls from the trees somewhere, and I don't like that crap. I would rather these kids go out and get their own money. Well, I want the schools out of it.
Yes, we want the schools out of it. On the other side of this, if they do try and make the schools pay the players, then you have to start looking at Title IX. You have to start looking at all this other stuff because every athlete on any campus, the head of the volleyball team is supposed to be the same as the quarterback of the football team. Like, they're all supposed to be the same. Everybody's equal. That's why we have equal scholarships. That's why we have equal women's sports to men's sports. Like, oh, you know, everything is equal, right?
And this is why they should be able to go out and get their own thing.
Yes, yes. So the Title IX stuff could get iffy. What we're going to see, basically, like, it's going to affect recruiting quite a bit. You're not going to see kids go to UCF if they have an offer to go to Auburn as much. Now, it's going to change things up some because do you want playing time or do you want to get more stuff, right? Because the schools now are able to give players more stuff. Like that's basically what we're talking about. Like you want brand new MacBooks, you want whatever. And a lot of these schools are already doing it. You're not going to see a ton of like drastic changes immediately, but this does change things for the future. And, you know, I think it's a good thing. I don't know that we're going to notice any big difference because you and I are well past our college years. But recruits, like when they come in, it's not like they're going to be given something as a recruit. But once they get on campus, yeah, it changes up because the school can then provide even more stuff up to their level of capableness, if that's even a word. So it's a big deal. Anytime the NCAA gets hammered in a court of law, it's a big deal. But this is not the biggest thing that we're looking for. The next step is NIL. The
NIL is what I care about, and here's the reason why. Your analogy of they can get a better computer. So, like, is the government saying they still can only give them a computer, but they can give them any computer they want, as opposed to they all have to get this computer.
No, like Alabama, Ohio State, LSU, whatever, they can give them, you know, five computers. And
can they give them a car?
If they somehow find a way to deem that a car is a necessary educational benefit.
Well, it's going to be a necessary educational benefit for any kid that doesn't live around the camp. Or, you know, I got to get home to mama. How did I get here?
There's ways that they'll be able to mess with this now.
I don't think there's not ways, Gary. If I told you I had to have a car to get back and forth from home,
that's now.
If you want me to come to Alabama, I don't live in Tuscaloosa and I can't walk to Alabama. I can't Uber there. I've got to drive there.
Matt Miller said, just let the athletes profit off their image and likeness. Easy as pie. He said, I also think it could help parity. Let's see, because 4 and 5 stars may choose to go to a smaller school and be the man and make a lot of money instead of getting lost. So that's the NIL stuff.
So the NIL stuff will 100% do that. This right here will make the rich richer.
Yes, 100%.
That's the thing I don't like about this, allowing the schools to do different, which is why I want the schools out of it. This is why I didn't want government in it to begin with.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to take care of the big people. That's what they do in real life. Amazon and Walmart going to get taken care of. Kroger's going to get taken care of. Your local butcher's going to close his doors.
Yes.
Okay. Home Depot's going to get taken care of. My store is going to suffer. The local handyman, you know, hardware store is going to close.
Yes.
That because they don't care about little guys. They only care about big fish.
Yeah, pretty much. It's basically if you've already got money, if you have the capability of actually giving these kids more, then you are now allowed to do it. And the NCAA is not allowed to stop you from doing it. Joseph Gomez jumps in, free education and get paid over not getting paid. Not a hard choice. $30,000 BMW or the dorm. Not a hard choice. Yeah. No, 100%. Like that's going to be the thing going forward is more players will be living off campus and they will be accepting cash offers. They will be accepting, you know, big time cars, all that kind of stuff. So all these SEC schools that be giving away cars whenever recruits come on campus and they got to hide it initially. Everybody knows the football facility at Alabama has Dodge Chargers lined out. We all see it and we get it, but they've been able to hide it however they do it. Now they won't even have to hide it. Like it'll just be there. So I'm interested in what's going to happen going forward. This week is going to be a massive week leading up to July 1st. Congress is not going to have the NIL stuff done. And in this case, had nothing to do with NIL. It does open the doors for the possibility of schools having.
But I thought Mark Emmert told everybody, do what he want.
Basically, yeah. But he's saying do whatever you want. It wasn't do whatever you want. It was schools need to come up with something or he will. Now, whatever he comes up with could end up being.
All right, so I'm going to speak
violation.
For LSU.
Go ahead.
We're going to get our guys sponsorships, okay?
Yeah.
So we're going to do that. You know, we started that Monday, by the way. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely.
Like you told me to do something. I did it. And do you think the NCAA has the balls to try to come down on somebody now if they started doing that tomorrow and openly just said, hey, we got this guy a sponsorship locally. They probably couldn't go out and get big national stuff right now. But if you got a bunch of local public sponsorships for players, what would the NCAA do? Do you think they have the balls to be like, oh, that's a violation, he can no longer play this year? No. No, it's not a violation, and he's going to play. You just got 9-0'd, bitch. I'll take you to court where you'll lose again and again and again because you're a loser, Mark Emmert. You're a loser, NCAA. You're losers. I would just do what I want.
Did you
I
see all do the what jokes? I want.
Like about if the NCAA sent an NIL, a notice of allegation, to LSU for stuff like it, we talked about for Coach Wade. All right. I would just send, I would just red stamp it. Case solved. Send it back. He offered him money. They took money. It's now allowed. Go away. this is literally second Ron Swanson quote, same quote. Just hand him a piece of paper that says, this is my permit. And it just says, I can do whatever I want.
Yes. I love it. I love it. And that's what everybody should
do. I'll tell you this. That's exactly how I would begin to react right now. If I was a coach, if I was an athletic director, this is exactly what I would be doing. Especially if I was a small school trying to play catch up with the big boys, but I wasn't quite there. If I was Cincinnati or UCF, I might not blow it up yet. But if I was another school if I was Tulsa trying to get to Cincinnati, what happens? If they crush you, for some reason, which I don't think they will, if they do crush you, you're still Tulsa, all right? Yeah. Nobody's gonna look down on you. But if you get through and you get a bunch of kids real quick and you can make a big jump real fast, it was all worth it.
Yes, 100%. Joseph jumped in again. He said, nobody said anything about LeBron's Hummer in high school, but it was there. He said, I see that Nike team money rolling in quickly. That Nike team money is already there. Adidas, all that kind of stuff, it's already there as far as basketball goes. All of this stuff is already happening. Like, it's just going to happen out in the open now.
Like, that's all I've ever wanted. You know this. All I want is to bring all this. I don't care about these kids getting money. I've never cared about them getting paid.
No, it's just transparency.
I want to take the bag man and shoot him in the head. Okay, I want to take everything that's happening in the darkness and bring it to light. I just want to know we didn't get that recruit because we got outbid, and I want to know what that bid was. Those are things I think are important for all these schools to know.
Yes, 100%. Like, I'm fully in agreement with you.
All these shady characters that are around college sports right now, basically basketball and football, all these shady characters will go away as soon as you bring it to light because they're no longer needed. Right now, you need seedy, dirty, nasty guys that are willing to do shady, underhanded things and line their own pockets. While doing it, they're taking the money from the people, siphoning a little bit off for themselves and giving it to the kids, and then, quote unquote, advising and directing these kids. Screw that. Nope. Let's get those guys out of here. We don't need them. Let these kids talk for themselves. If they want representation, we can find them representation to make sure they don't get screwed on contract deals. That's it.
Yeah. Easy enough.
Keep the schools out of it. Keep the government out of it.
You will still have schools cheating. I mean, we know about the Arizona State case. We talked about that the other day. Hey, by the way, I was wrong on that. We didn't talk about it on the Sunday show. But the Friday thing, it was coaches that were no longer there. And there's one coach that was actually on staff that is anonymous that provided some of the information that did not agree with what was going on with Antonio Pierce and whatnot. But coaches will look for any kind of advantage that they can find. Like, that's going to continue to happen. There will still be cheating even when a bunch of this stuff gets brought out into the open. But, yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff will still continue on. There's still going to be shady stuff. There's still going to be bagmen. There's still going to be, you know, guys that find a way to get, you know, money off the books, basically. Because anything that these players make now going to be taxable. You know?
Yeah, but I think that off the books money is going to be far less because it's dangerous. These people that are giving cash money off the books now are doing it through some charity usually, and when you get caught, i.e. the guy at LSU, you go to federal prison for that. Okay. Yes. Now you start getting racketeering charges and money laundering charges. And that's a big deal. Nobody's paying these kids hundreds of thousands of dollars without making sure they can write it off on taxes. Yes. All right. But if you hire them as a sponsor, that's advertising budget. You now get to write it off on taxes. The amount of cash will go away. I just think it will.
I think you're right about that. I think
you might get a couple of big wigs that'll throw them a thousand here, a thousand there, because they don't care. But the real money that's actually changing hands won't. They're not doing it. They're not. Rich people are going to jail for tax fraud, tax evasion, money laundering, racketeering, because they're doing things that aren't illegal. They just aren't able to write them off on taxes, and they're willing to take a chance at jail time to write them off on taxes.
Yes, which is insane. Like, I don't know of any 17-year-old kid that I would be willing to go to prison for. But neither here nor there, we will stay in college football, and let's discuss something that happened today. And the big thing, of course, we've talked plenty about the 12-team playoff, right? That has crossed another hurdle. That is, you know, a big step. Having heard the presentation made today by the working group, along with the management committee that joined us for today's meeting, the board has authorized the management committee to begin a summer review phase that will engage other important voices in this matter, said CFP board chairman Mark Keenum, who is the president of Mississippi State. He said, these include many people on our campuses. We have relationships with the bowls and a broadcast partner with whom we will want to consult to explore the feasibility of the 12-team proposal. This too will happen during the summer study period. So, blah, blah, blah. We're moving one step further. Now we're into the whole, let's test it out. Let's talk to people about it. Let's get some responses, see what everybody thinks, right? And I think that's going to go swimmingly, just like every other step has. They would not have brought this stuff public if they did not believe that it was going to pass with flying colors. Like, just wouldn't have happened. But what I want to bring up is what the conferences are doing. We talked about this on the show last week. The conferences are starting to reposition themselves to be able to get into this 12-team format. So we talked on the Monday podcast about Larry Scott and his ridiculous statement going out as commissioner of the Pac-12, and he said that he thinks all of the Power 5 schools should have an automatic bid into the playoff. Like, regardless of ranking, every P5 champion should be in, which we laughed at because that just means that you don't think that your teams are good enough to be one of the top six conference champs.
It's just a rare occurrence, but if you end up with a four-loss, you know, champion, that's just one of those things where we can't let them in.
Yes, 100%. If there's an upset and you've got a one-loss team that gets upset by an 8-4 team or whatever, that one-loss team should hopefully still be good enough to be ranked.
I was just about to say, the chances of that one-loss team not getting in is slim to none. Exactly. So maybe they're a two-loss team, but that's still, they're getting in. The winner, you know, tough. I don't know what to tell you.
And now, of course, now that we laughed at that and the Pac-12 kind of turned themselves into a joke again, we now have news that the Pac-12 commissioner has welcomed the league's athletic directors to Las Vegas for a meeting last week. And his tenure doesn't begin until July 1st. But according to John Wilner of the Mercury News, he said the league's ADs and Kliavkov have engaged in preliminary discussions regarding changes to the structure of the football season in the Pac-12 in the wake of the expected CFP expansion. Among those changes are eliminating divisions, so basically moving to pod format like we talked about, and dropping from 9 conference games per season down to 8. I think this is absolutely brilliant on the Pac-12's part. Like, look, you have got to do something to make yourself look better. Every year, that extra game, that extra conference game has cost them big time. Think about Oregon against Arizona State a couple of years ago. Think about Utah in that same year. Like, for whatever reason, 9 games is too many for the Pac-12, right? Because all those teams are very similar. Like, anybody can beat anybody on any given Saturday. You reduce it from 9 down to 8, that works. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not great for competitive balance. Like, by any stretch of the imagination, going from 9 games down to 8 does not help that. But I do love the idea of the pod system. You know that I love that. Yeah. If I were the Pac-12, I would have done this years ago. Like, years ago, because they are not able to even sniff this thing in most seasons. What are your thoughts? I know I'm sure you're thinking this is ridiculous on their part, but
Well, I mean, honestly, David versus Goliath. The problem that they're going to run into is they're literally just going to be bringing in a bunch of pay for wins, because if they open it up to some of the better teams in the Mountain West that's out there by them, or any of the American teams, or God forbid they play BYU, that they should have rather just played another Pac-12 team. Okay. Because those other teams are better than them, and those other teams are going to beat them regularly.
Yeah. I tend to agree with that.
I promise you, you'd rather play Colorado over, San Diego State. You just would.
Yeah, you might be right about that. I do think that this was smart by them, because you have to find a way to set the deck up in your favor, right?
Yes. Like going to the pod system definitely gives them a better opportunity for that. If, let's say Arizona State and USC are the two best teams, or Utah and USC, or Washington and Oregon, you don't want them, splitting. You want one of them, you want both of them to go to the championship game.
Yes.
So that's the right thing to do. The dropping the extra game down, I don't think helps them. I think it helps them, but in their quote unquote strength of schedule, if they just replace it with another pay for win, which they already have pay for wins, then I'm never going to give credence to that. I'm never going to give them extra credit for that.
I do think, for whatever reason, public persona is, we'll talk about what Jackson just said here in a second. Public persona is that, or public perception, how's that? Is that a one loss team, regardless of what the schedule is, just looks better than a 9-3 team, even if you played, four top 10 teams. Like, I don't know what I don't know why we think that.
But we got to change that thing, Gary.
I agree.
That has to be changed. And you don't alter your conference to do that. You have to change the minds of people. You have to make an argument and say, we actually played folks this year, okay?
Yeah. No. I agree with you. And
if you end up with two losses, but both the teams that you lost to are also in the playoffs, and you beat everybody else, but everybody else is a real team and not a pay for win, then you have a better criteria than a team like Clemson that murders everybody, but they didn't play a single ranked team by the time the season's over with. So what are we talking about?
We have to change our
perspective.
If we look at what the CFP committee has done thus far through seven playoffs, they tend to lean towards the teams that don't have multiple losses. No, that's just not true.
They only tend to believe that if it's a team they want in, because you've got AAC teams that have zero losses that they keep out all the time. They change their argument to benefit whoever the hell they want, because they're just as corrupt as the NCAA.
You do have a point there. If we look at Iowa State, so
that doesn't matter.
Think about Iowa State last season.
You could have three loss Pac-12 champion that played only Pac-12 games, and they're still going to get in over a one loss or an undefeated American team. They just are.
We would hope so. Now, I think last year was a little bit crazy. Obviously, Oregon would not have gotten in based on the rankings, which I think is why Larry Scott said what he said. But
Oregon only played three games or four games last year. They were
3-2 after
they played five games. Yeah. You can't make that the argument that you fall on. Okay. Yeah. Like, well, we left them out last year, whatever. Yeah. But that wasn't a real season. Okay.
Jackson said better conference in 5 years, Pac-12 or the AAC. I think the AAC is a better conference right now.
I was just about to say, better conference now, AAC. Better conference in 2 years, AAC. Better conference in 3 years, AAC. Better conference in 4 and 5 years, AAC.
Yes. Matt said, like Auburn beating Georgia and Bama, but not making it to the national championship game. Well, they also lost to, what, LSU that year? And then they lost to they had two losses at that point, and then they had a third in the SEC championship game. So
it might have been LSU and A&M.
Probably so. But yeah, they had three losses after the SEC championship game, so they still would have made it into the playoff.
In this format, they would have made it into the playoff.
And so they had big time wins, but they also had losses. So let's not forget the losses. Which were two teams that were not as good as Alabama and Georgia that year, for whatever reason. I don't have anything else that we need to hit on.
No, that's it, brother.
We hit 45 minutes. That's not bad. Not bad. Anything else you feel like discussing?
Nope.
Wonderful. All right, we are going to get out of here then. You guys have been fantastic. Thank you to everybody. Matt, Jackson, McKinnon, Joseph, Matt Miller, you know, all these guys. Thank you all for jumping into the chat, helping drive the conversation. We certainly appreciate it. If you have not already, subscribe to the podcast. We do a podcast-only show on Mondays and Fridays. You subscribe anywhere you need to subscribe, and it will pop up in your feed at 5 a.m. Central Time on those mornings. So go ahead and check it out. Matt said, hey, why don't we talk about the price of beef jerky going up?
What's the price of beef going up?
There you go.
If beef goes up, beef jerky got to go up. That's how shit works, Matt. You smart enough to know that.
Matt, at least the price of lumber is going down, so that's good. I mean, we got something working.
Yeah, but he don't eat lumber.
That's very true. Very true. All right, let's go ahead and get out of here. WinningCuresEverything.com, SBRPicks.com/NCAAF. You guys are fantastic. Take care of yourself, take care of each other, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week.
Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.